Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins. We begin with the reading of the Ten Commandments. The response to each is, Amen. Lord, have mercy. Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods but me. Amen. Lord, have mercy. You shall not make for yourself any idol.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not invoke with malice the name of the Lord your God.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Honor your father and your mother.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not steal.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not be a false witness.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Jesus said, "The first commandment is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, You are my son. Today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he had suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the appointed portion of Psalm 119 in unison. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By keeping to your words. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not stray from your commandments. I treasure your promise in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Instruct me in your statutes. With my lips I will recite all the judgments of your mouth. I have taken greater delight in the way of your decrees than in all manners of riches. I will meditate on your commandments and give attention to your ways. My delight is in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life. In this world, we keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then the voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will draw people to himself. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, would draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you know that March 20th was International Happiness Day? This was news to me. When exactly did we decide on that holiday? I don't remember reading about it in the Christian calendar of saints. Maybe it was Hallmark Card that invented it. And while we're at it, if we're going to have Happiness Day, maybe we should have Shopping Day. Or how about Stuff Yourself with Food Day? And by the way, what are you supposed to do on Happiness Day if you wake up in a bad mood? Does that mean you have to go back to bed and wake up tomorrow? Our culture has been consumed recently by the concept of happiness. One of my husband's friends from law school penned a book called The Happiness Project. The entire book, and this is a young woman who clerked on the Supreme Court. She decided to devote all of her time to writing about how to get happy. And she publishes this book, and it is now a national bestseller. Because everybody wants to be happy. Isn't that the purpose of life? And if the pursuit of happiness is what we're all about, then our culture plays right into it, right? Because if you buy this, it'll make you happy. Or if you take a vacation, or if you're skinnier, well, then you'll be happy. Have you ever seen a cat chasing its own tail? That's what happens when we try to make ourselves happy. We run around in circles, frantically trying to grab something that we can't hold on to. Our culture is ill. We are afflicted with the happiness illness. And the worst part of the happiness illness is that when you feel bad, you think that there's something wrong with you. We actually believe that we are supposed to be happy all the time. And that's just not well. In today's gospel, there is this phrase that I have never really understood. In fact, it's bothered me most of my adult life, up until this week. I think I might have found a clue that helps me understand it. You see, in this gospel, Jesus says, those who love their life will lose it. And those who hate their life in this world will gain it for eternal life. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will gain it for eternal life. And the reason I've always struggled with that is that I can't imagine God would really want us to hate our lives. I mean, didn't God create us and give us life? And then God wants us to hate our lives? It just never quite made sense to me. So this week I tried to look deeply at that ancient Greek word which we've been translating to hate. And it's called miseo. And the meaning is really more like to renounce. To reject something in the sense of not holding it, letting it go. Those who love their life, who hold on to it, who possess it, are going to lose it. Those who renounce their life, giving it up. And then there's three very important words which I never seem to have heard before in this world. Those who renounce their life in this world will gain eternal life. I want you to think for a moment with me about the cross. You know that symbol that we see all the time on buildings, on gravestones. We suspend it around our necks on chains. It's engraved on rings. And we forget what it means. You know, most of the religions of the world have peaceful, beautiful symbols. Like Buddhism has the lotus flower. Islam has the crescent moon. Judaism has the six-pointed Star of David. And we? What is our symbol? And what does it mean? It's an electric chair. What if you hung an electric chair around your neck? What if you put a firing squad on your business card? What if you hung a golden noose on your wall, a hangman's noose? The cross is a symbol of death. My son, Luke, turned 16 and he got his driver's license on Friday, and I've been a nervous wreck. It's been so bad that when I drive with him, I keep gasping and jumping. He hit the brakes yesterday too suddenly, and I went, "Ooh, father!" And he goes, "Ooh, father!" I drive him crazy, and he drives me crazy. And I know that I have to let him drive. I have to let him go, or I'll suffocate him. But the truth is, I don't want him to drive, and I'm terrified. but he's not mine to hold on to. I've got to let him go. And I noticed this week that when Luke walks around, you know, he's in high school and everybody says, "What do you want to do when you grow up?" And I began really thinking about that question. What people are really asking is, what's going to make you happy for the rest of your life? What job have you identified that's going to make you happy for the rest of your life? And no wonder our young people don't know how to answer that question. Does a job make you happy for the rest of your life? No. Why are we asking that? We're consumed with happiness and pleasing ourselves. Why don't we ask instead, how do you think you could serve God in your life? Or what gifts do you think you could use to make the world a better place? Maybe then they could begin to answer. There's a man who's living in Australia, and his name is Brian Downing. And he has neurofibromatosis. And what that means is that he has tiny tumors that are erupting from his skin all over his face. And there's a little video of him on the internet. He is grotesque looking, horrible looking. And you would think that this man would be pretty unhappy. But actually, he's not. And in this video, he says, "Well, I can't really think too much about my happiness or myself, because that just makes me miserable. And you know, I'm really awful looking, and everywhere I go, people gape at me and they're shocked. But I thought, you know, what can I do to help the world? Well, kids think I'm a monster, and they actually kind of find me funny. So I decided I would work with kids." So this guy, Brian Downing, he has worked with children in a church for 20 years. And he makes them laugh and cry, and he plays games with them. And he has this big, lopsided, ugly smile and light that shines from his eyes. There's this newspaper lady, Kimberly Young, who has spent 10 years researching how to be happy. Whew. And after 10 years of research in psychology and neuroscience and blah-de-blah, she came up with the one thing that really makes a human being happy. And it has nothing to do with your looks, and it doesn't have to do with food, and it doesn't have to do even with your friends or your loved ones, or money or anything. The first and foremost thing that makes a human being happy, neurologically and psychologically, is giving. When you give yourself away, it creates endorphins. When you stop being consumed with your own happiness and you give your time, your money, your gifts, whatever means something to you, and you really give, you get something. Those who love their life and cling to it and try to make themselves happy for all eternity, guess what? Like water through the fingers. Those who renounce their life and give their life away, well, they gain eternal life. The myth, the happiness illness, is so all-pervasive that I think that most Christians think that we're doing something wrong if we don't feel good. But was Jesus happy all the time? I mean, he's our role model, right? We're supposed to follow him. Do you remember him saying how happy he was all the time? If I recall, he was flat out exhausted most of the time, right? I mean, he fell asleep in the boat. He has to go up a mountain to get away from everybody so he can have some time alone to pray. Oh, and the most important thing that he did in his life was dying on the cross. Do you think he was happy while he hung on the cross? Why have we made this mood of ours so important? Who told us that it was the be-all and end-all? You know, people even come to church trying to be happy, and they'll say, I come because I like this, or I don't like that. I hated the sermon, I liked the sermon. I didn't like the music, I did. And I'm going to go somewhere else because maybe it'll make me happy. Like we're some kind of entertainment program. That's not what worship is about. For thousands of years, Christians have come to church, whether they enjoyed it or not, on the first morning of the first day of the week. And they do that because what we're doing is we're saying to God, I give you my life. You have the first morning of the first day of the week. Whether I'm happy or sad, whether I'm in a good mood or bad mood, whether I feel like it or not, you come before me. I die to myself for you. I give my life to you. Wouldn't it be awesome if Christians really got that? I mean, we've been having all these people rushing to these basketball games, right? What if we had people rushing to church and our biggest problem was that we were so overcrowded that people were getting annoyed with each other and there was no parking? Wouldn't that be amazing? I have an evangelical friend, and I've always thought there is something kind of cool about that altar call. Because when they call you up to see if you want to give your life to Christ, you have to get your body out of the seat, you have to walk forward and sort of hand yourself over to God. And that's also a good thing, you know? It's not really my style, but I can see why it works. But recently I realized, and I said to my evangelical friend, you know what? In the Episcopal Church, we actually have an altar call. And he said, really? And I said, yeah, actually, it's every Sunday, and everybody comes up. And he said, what? Everybody comes up, and I said, yeah, it's called the Eucharist, and everybody comes up. So when you get your body up out of the pew, and you would never do that when you were watching a movie, right? You get your body out of the pew and you walk towards the altar, the symbol of God. And I want you to think to yourself, I give myself to you, God. You are my first priority. I'm tired of making my happiness the most important thing in my life. So I let you be the most important thing in my life. I walk to you on the first morning of the first day of the week. I'm yours. I renounce my life for you. How about if we try to not live by the code of the happiness illness, but instead to embrace the mystery of the cross and watch what happens to your life when you give it away. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we come before you to pray for this world that you have made. Good Lord, for all who suffer, for the hungry, the sick, and those who are in pain, I invite you to name aloud those who need our prayers. Good Lord, for peace throughout the world, especially in the Middle East and Ukraine, that all human beings might come to respect and honor one another. Good Lord, for this planet, that we may learn to cultivate and value the resources that you have given us. Good Lord, for the church throughout the world, for the Episcopal Church in Florida, and for this cathedral, our church home, that we may welcome many people to your holy table. Good Lord. For those who have died, especially Christians who have died for their faith in the Middle East and Pakistan, I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died. Remember especially Anru Lung, good Lord, for our journey through this season of Lent, that we may have the strength to practice the disciplines we have adopted. Good Lord, we thank you for this time of worship, for those that we love, for all good gifts that you have given us, and for every breath that we take. Good Lord.
Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear what we ask in the name of your Son. Accept and fulfill our petitions, we pray, not as we ask in our ignorance, nor as we deserve in our sinfulness, but as you know and love us in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. My beloved brothers and sisters, may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Good morning, everybody. How are you doing? Good. How is your Lent going? Are you holding on? Are you keeping up with whatever you decided to do or not to do? I hope so. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift, and we promise we won't make you talk or anything. But if you hold up your hand high, you have to keep it up, though, and hold it high so they can find you, because it'll take them a minute to get to you. So keep it up there. We're so glad you're here. So welcome to all of you. Believe it or not, these 40 days are coming quickly to a close. Next weekend is Palm Sunday. So you'll be getting palms when you come into church, and that's when Jesus walked on a donkey to Jerusalem, you remember.
We're going at 10 o'clock. We're going to have all of our regular services. But if you're able-bodied, I invite you to join us at 10 o'clock and walk out into the streets of the city. We're going to have Jesus, who's a teenager, but he has long hair, so it looks good. He's going to get on a donkey, and we're going to ride. We're going to walk with him as he rides through the streets of Jacksonville. So I hope you'll join us in walking also next Sunday. There is a schedule of all the Holy Week services in your bulletin wrap. Please take that home so that you can be a part of that holy season. So many beautiful services that week as we approach the cross and the resurrection. This Saturday is Lay Weeders Day, not lay readers, lay weeders. Those are the people that like to pull the weeds. So if you love to garden, come to the church at 8:30 and lunch will be provided. It's really a lot of fun, a wonderful crowd. During Holy Week, there is only one service that you need to RSVP for, and that's the Seder dinner. We actually reenact the Seder dinner of the Last Supper. But you have to let us know if you're coming because there's so much food we need to make. So you can make reservations. Please do it by Palm Sunday if possible. Contact the church office or find a parishioner with a clipboard right after the service as you go in for coffee. The next date for baptism will be as the sun rises on Easter. So if you know someone who needs to be baptized, be sure to call. And you can donate Easter flowers in memory of a loved one or in honor of a loved one. There are envelopes around, and you also can do that on the website. Also, we're getting ready for our parish retreat in May, a wonderful fun time. There is a parish retreat table in the cloister, or you can talk to Sue Ingeman if you have any questions about that retreat. You can register online. And as you were coming in, did some of you hear a beautiful cello? That's Jin Pina, who is a new member, and she plays for the symphony. Thank you so much for playing this morning. Beautiful. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Father, you made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. And so we gladly thank you, with saints and angels praising you and singing. We praise you and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross, bringing before you the bread of life and the cup of salvation. We proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. The gifts of God for the people of God. Now, if you'll please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitors who will take communion to those who could not be with us today. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. My brothers and sisters, life is short, and we have too little time to gladden the hearts of those around us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
in peace to love and serve the Lord.